Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and this morning my guest is the Program Manager for the Alaska Food Coalition, Sarah Cleafy. And I believe Sarah is on the line with us. Good morning, Sarah.
I am. Good morning, Amy.
Hi. It's so good to hear your lovely voice this morning. Thanks for getting up early and joining me on Ag Matters Radio.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So, Sarah, I always like to start with a little bit of background on my guest. And I love to have my guest tell us about, A, your connection to Alaska, and since this is Ag Matters Radio, your connection to agriculture, and then we'll kind of jump right into the Food Coalition and what you do there.
Absolutely. Well, not all of us have connections to farming families like you do. But I would say I kind of grew up all over the world and all over the U.S., but I spent a lot of my formative years in Oregon, which has, as you know, a very robust and thriving food system and agricultural scene, and I went where I was going to college at the University of Oregon. I took an urban farm class and got really interested in sustainable agriculture and specifically in international agricultural development, but then really kind of turned my focus to local food and volunteered at some community gardens and at a food bank down in Eugene, and kind of opened my eyes to, you know, I've always had this love of food, but didn't really have that connection to agriculture until spending time in the Willamette Valley and getting to know some local farmers, urban farmers. And so I really just kind of fell in love with all of the concepts of that.
Yeah. There. And then a few years ago, what brought you to Alaska?
Yeah. And then, so following that and knowing I wanted to work in food systems in some way, I'd finished college and I was like, you know, it'd be great to just get out of Oregon. So I applied to different AmeriCorps positions around the country, and I applied to one with the Alaska Food Policy Council.
You did, I remember.
I'd always been intrigued by Alaska, and as many of us have, and Alaska called first. They called first and said, hey, come up and work with us, and this is what's going on in our food system. And I, a month later, moved up here, and I've been here for, it'll be 5 years in April.
No way.
Yeah,
I know. That seems like just the other day when we were interviewing you for that Food Policy Council VISTA position. That's awesome. And so now you transitioned away from the Food Policy Council, and you are working with the Alaska Food Bank and the Food Coalition. So tell us what that means.
Absolutely. So, you know, while I had this kind of local food and local food lens approach to, you know, food security and what that meant to me, I kind of transitioned over into this anti-hunger and kind of food insecurity side of the coin of food security. So I now work with the Alaska Food Coalition, which is, it's a coalition of organizations around the state who are focused in some way in addressing food insecurity and, you know, addressing hunger in Alaska. So it can, you know, membership of the coalition ranges from food pantries and folks who are kind of doing direct service of just serving people food day in and day out in their community. And then we also have folks from more health, public health related organizations, from tribal governments, from, you know, more social service organizations broadly. And what we really try to do is what we're transitioning to, instead of figuring out, hey, how do we get more pounds of food out the door in our pantry network, it's say, okay, what are some of these root causes of hunger and root causes of food insecurity that we can be addressing through advocacy and policy work and
system
informing
change.
Our elected officials and the public.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I can definitely go more into what root causes of hunger means in general, but that's kind of broadly what the purpose of the coalition is. And we are housed at the Food Bank of Alaska, so we're kind of working in tandem when we're talking about different government programs we're advocating for, different initiatives, working with similar partners, and yeah.
Yeah, very good. Well, it's an interesting timeliness to this in that I reached out to Kara there at the food bank to see if she would like to come on the show. And my thinking was, you know, it's that time of year where we have lots of food drives and there's lots of efforts to get people to donate food and to volunteer at the food bank. And my mindset was kind of in that regard, and also wanting to highlight how our Alaska agriculture community supports our food banks and our food pantries so aggressively and generously. But Sarah, you and Kara also pointed out that another super hot topic related to agriculture and ag matters and the food bank and food system is the Farm Bill, and how the federal Farm Bill is under review and under change right now. They'll be, you know, voting on it in this next session, and that has a huge impact on both our agricultural world and the world of the food bank and the food coalition, right? So because that's such a big topic, let's break that down a little bit for folks and tell me how the Farm Bill impacts the work that you do.
Sure. Well, just a brief on the Farm Bill itself. I mean, I'm sure people who are listening are already in some way familiar with the Farm Bill and how that affects, you know, the ag sphere. So the big thing that people don't realize about the Farm Bill is that it's, you know, there are the agriculture titles, and then there are the nutrition titles. So this Farm Bill has both of those two prongs that are in a lot of ways, you know, very interconnected to each other. And then for a while, some elected officials were advocating to split the Farm Bill, so to right. make the agriculture and nutrition titles separate.
Yep.
And thankfully, enough people created, you know, an uproar about that to say, you know, hey, while, you know, these titles might seem more simple to do, hey, let's focus on the things that affect farming, and then let's focus on the things that affect government, you know, nutrition programs.
Right.
But it's so many ways they rely on each other. And on the nutrition side of things, in the Farm Bill, so that is worked out every 4 years. So in 2018, it'll be officially reauthorized. But a lot of the programs covered in the Farm Bill are supplemental nutrition assistance programs, which I think we'll talk a little bit more about.
Yeah.
So food stamps, as most people know them, but a few years ago we're transitioning into calling it SNAP. And then we have the senior box, people know it as the senior box program in Alaska. So it's the commodity supplemental foods program. There's the Emergency Food Assistance Program that is our biggest source at Food Bank of Alaska to rural Alaska, and we serve a lot of different partners around the state through that program. And also, there are a few other nutrition-related programs and kind of provisions that are able to be changed through the Farm Bill, and the Food Distribution Program on Indian Reservations, which is also run in 18 communities in Alaska. So there are a lot of key programs that are, you know, we have the opportunity to change in a lot of ways through this process to make them more effective and funded more robustly. And so that's kind of, at least from the anti-hunger side, we're looking at advocating for some different changes to those programs. But what we're also realizing in this time is that this is a time where, and it's already happening nationally through some major coalitions and more national organizations of both, you know, farmers and food industry folks, and also then on the hunger side of things, are really partnering together and saying, hey, we need to stand strong on the things that will affect both of us, because maybe to some people don't say, like, oh, crop subsidies and insurance policy doesn't necessarily, you know,
impact me. Yeah.
with the other side. But in so many ways it does, because those programs like TFAP and CSFP, often the food that ends up in those boxes and ends up distributed is bought by the federal government from different agricultural industries and producers, based on market prices and different fluctuations, which I will not pretend to be an expert on.
Right.
But so in a lot of ways, those things are the same. And then the other major thing that we've realized is that, while we, and myself included, want to make sure we're supporting our farmers and our ag industry folks and making sure, hey, we want your costs to be lower. We want your barriers to entry to be lower. We want to make sure you're able to make a living and continue your livelihood. And we also want to make sure that, let's think about who are the people you're growing for.
Right.
Who are the people that are going to be buying your food, and making sure that more people are participating in our local food systems and in our food system more broadly.
And just being aware of all of it, where the food comes from, and especially here in Alaska, the notion that we're kind of all in this together. And if we're not paying attention to the system as a whole, it's super easy to be siloed and to only look at things from your perspective. But that doesn't work in this situation. Sarah, I have to interrupt you for just a second to remind folks that they are listening to Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. And with me this morning is Sarah Cleafy. She is the program manager for the Alaska Food Coalition. And we are talking about all the different ways that this stuff is tied together, right? So when we talk about reauthorization of the Farm Bill, Sarah, this is kind of an unfair question, and feel free to say I don't know. But one of the concerns is that, of course, this Farm Bill comes with a tremendous cost. I believe, and this is where I'm looking for your input, but isn't the Farm Bill like the second largest authorization of money that the federal government does apart from defense spending?
Yes, this is. I believe, I don't know if it's officially the second, but it is definitely in terms of cost. That is one thing that a lot of advocates are trying to address in, I think it's really because of the costs that are associated with this Farm Bill have to be tied to things like our deficit and tax reform. And so, it is all very much interconnected, and
It makes it a big target, right? Because it's a huge pot of money. And so when folks are saying, hey, we need to work on tax reform instead, and we need to save money here, and they go, oh, let's look at the Farm Bill and cut some programs there.
Right. And really what's able to be allocated from the Farm Bill is definitely tied to, what happens with tax reform and what happens with addressing our deficit and revenue streams. And so I think, that is one thing that a lot of us are looking and saying, hey, the Farm Bill does cost a lot of money. Where can we find those cost savings that are not made on the backs of both farmers and, food insecure Americans and Alaskans? And so, I think looking at and acknowledging the price tags associated with things is a key part of this process. But I think, especially one thing I didn't get to mention is that the Farm Bill has a lot of grant programs within it that actually, different Alaskan organizations and communities have benefited from in the past, like the Community Food Projects Grant and the Food Insecurity and Nutrition Incentives Grant. So there are a lot of USDA grants within that also, are a big reason for that big price tag, extremely helpful.
Yeah, the funding for our organization, when we protect a property and the federal government foots half the bill, that funding comes from the Farm Bill.
Yeah. I think our biggest argument is, pushing back from really just gutting the Farm Bill's of the price and focusing on the price tag is like, well, what is more critical than our food system and making sure that we, are both supporting and boosting our farming and our ag system, and also making sure people have access to food that we are growing and producing in this country. And so, and that then is connected to health and our healthcare costs. And then it's also connected to, some other large price tag, pieces of legislation and programs in the country. So, you know, while we are, I think, actively working to acknowledge those price tags, figure out where we can make find savings, but also making sure that's not happening at the cost of those that really need the support from this bill and from these different grant programs. And so that is, yeah. I wish I was more of an economist. It turns out it's like that is the biggest, when we're looking at these things, myself and others are like, wow, how is this all interconnected to the larger federal budget and spending? And so I think our argument, in addition to many other people right now, is like, go cut somewhere else.
Right.
Go cut a different sector. But really, that's not helpful either, because then we're all just kind of fighting for the same smaller piece of the pie when, I'm sure there are other places we could be trimming that wouldn't come at the cost of a lot of these critical programs. I don't know what those are.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's a complicated topic for sure, and we could probably spend a couple of days, talking about the Farm Bill. But let's move on and talk more specifically. I know you wanted to talk in detail about the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, SNAP. So let's talk about SNAP in Alaska and where that what issues we're facing with that program right now.
Yeah. So the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP or food stamps, is for us at least, even in the Anti-Hunger Network, a lot of us acknowledge SNAP as being the most effective anti-hunger program in the country. What it really does is it allows folks to have the autonomy and the purchasing power to buy food when they're able to and when it's convenient for them, instead of having to go through the labor of getting a bus to a food pantry and waiting in line and then figuring out how to get that food home. While our food pantries are doing critical work, SNAP really enables people to, if they have two or three jobs, it allows them to go and buy food for their family when it's convenient for them and when they're able to.
Sure.
I think our biggest thing we face in Alaska is, in terms of getting public and policymaker support, is a lot of the misinformation behind SNAP. So right now, actually, we just looked at the updated numbers for SNAP in Alaska, and we have seen a 14% increase from the number of Alaskans that were on SNAP last year in July. It was about 82,000 Alaskans, individuals. And right now, in July 2017, we have 96,000 Alaskans on SNAP. So I think what we're seeing is, the need right now, especially given the economy and access to jobs and a lot of other factors, that the need in Alaska is very real for access to SNAP. And the reason why SNAP is, it's not great that people need to be on SNAP during hard times, but really SNAP kind of fluctuates with the economy. So it,
sure.
The caseload basically grows, when we're in economic tough times, and then it goes down when things are better. And so what we're seeing in the rest of the country is that caseloads for SNAP are down. And it's really interesting looking at different charts and saying, caseloads around the country are down, except for Alaska.
Right.
So we're beating that drum and saying, hey, the reason this is a great resource for us right now in these hard times is because SNAP is federally funded, and the state pays a small administrative fee for, processing applications and getting cards out to people, which SNAP comes on a debit-like card now, not actual stamps. So we're kind of transitioning away from calling it food stamps, and I'll explain how that works in a little bit. But really, it's a federal resource that then goes into our local economies around the state. So retailers like Alaska Commercial Stores in rural communities are then able to, have those federal dollars flow in. And the metric that different economists have used to highlight the impact of SNAP in local economies is for every dollar that's spent in SNAP, it generates about $1.70, $1.75 in the local economy. So that means basically helping to support retailers, helping to support local businesses with that federal resource that otherwise might not be there because a consumer might not have access to to that resource to buy food.
Right. Sarah, just so, real quickly, one more interruption to if folks have just tuned in, you're listening to Ag Matters Radio on Radio Free Palmer. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and this morning my guest is Sarah Cleafy, and she's the program manager with the Alaska Food Coalition. And right now you're telling us about the SNAP program, and the program's kind of under threat recently, right, or undergoing some major change that could have an impact in Alaska. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it is basically SNAP is kind of always a threat, always under threat from different angles. But the biggest threat right now is coming through both kind of tax reform initiatives, but also through this farm bill process. Because as you said, Amy, the farm bill is extremely expensive, and SNAP definitely accounts for a large portion of that budget. You know, which different people have different feelings about, but I think what's really crucial to focus on there is, yes, it is a large piece of the cost of the farm bill, but it's also very necessary right now, and to keep that level of funding, especially for states like ours, and to have that money available while it's not always being utilized, depending on different caseloads and, like, how that's fluctuating. It's still there when the American economy needs it and when Americans need it. So I think, you know, especially there's that, just it being cut, the threat of it being cut more broadly to the federal budget. But then there are also a lot of different venues and ways people can attempt to cut SNAP and do quote-unquote welfare reform, which we try to not call SNAP a welfare program because it's a food program. It is, you know, people are only able to purchase cold foods or beverages, and also you can buy seeds, fun fact, and starts with SNAP benefits in the summer.
Grow your own.
You know, you can't buy hot food, you can't spend it at a fast food restaurant, you can only spend it at authorized retailers. Yeah. And so I think really focusing on the fact that this is a critical food program that both supports a lot of our retailers nationally and, you know, with a lot of cool programs happening, like one you worked on, you know, being able to using SNAP benefits at farmers markets, you know, we're really trying... The goal of the program and the different grants in this farm bill are trying to make that connection and make sure that people of all income levels have access to local food as well as and are supporting people buying healthy and local foods to kind of bust that myth that everybody on SNAP is buying soda, which is something we can go into after this. Talk more about that, but
yeah. I think all Alaskans, I think people in general don't realize how impacted by hunger they are, even if it's not within their own household, that, you know, if you have food on your shelves and your refrigerator is full and your bank account is full and you have a good job, but you don't realize that hunger is still impacting you and your community in many, many ways, whether you're a parent and you have a student in school who perhaps the child sitting next to your student comes to school hungry, and that in turn impacts their behavior, and that in turn impacts the learning environment. And, you know, I did some trainings on hunger when I worked at the Division of Agriculture, and it's making me emotional right now because it was just so eye-opening to realize how much hunger impacts our communities, even when it doesn't impact us directly. And so Kind of on that note, Sarah, we only have a couple of minutes left in the show. And so I want to be sure and give you the chance to tell listeners how they can get involved and what action steps they can take to pay more attention to this farm bill and the SNAP program and get involved with the Food Coalition. So tell us how to find you, how to get involved, et cetera.
Yeah. I wish we could talk for longer.
I know, it goes so fast.
This, but, and I didn't even give a brief of like food insecurity in Alaska in general. But just, I mean, to follow up with what you said, I think realizing that hunger is present in our communities all around us, all around the state, and often food is the first thing to be cut from a lot of families' budgets when they have to make hard choices, like between paying medical bills and for food, or paying, right, making a car payment or for food. So especially that's really felt during the holidays. And so I think, just in the holiday season, and not just during the holiday season,
right,
throughout the year, you know, volunteering at different food pantries and food banks that are, you know, there are a lot in the valley. You can support like Frontline Mission and others, and there are a lot in Anchorage. So just even doing that direct contact with folks and seeing hunger in your community and doing that is a huge step you can take. Another thing you can do is really getting involved with the coalition, you know, which is more focused towards organizations, but Food Bank of Alaska and the Alaska Food Coalition have an advocacy list that you can sign up for as an individual. And I think really getting involved and realizing that the connection between hunger and policy and hunger and the different causes related to it are things we need to address as a community as well. So signing on and supporting, saying you support SNAP as a resource for Alaskans and to not make sure it does not get cut,
right,
is a huge thing that you can do as an individual, because, you know, while folks have different views on SNAP itself, I think that knowing that that is what 96,000 of our
Alaskans
are relying on.
Yeah.
Often people you wouldn't expect are you relying on that program right now, especially during this tough economic time that we're in. So doing that. And then the third thing you can do is really just stay informed, and doing that by either liking Alaska Food Coalition Facebook page, liking the SnapWorks Alaska Facebook page, and getting, just reading more articles and educating yourself on what the program actually does, who it works for, the program meaning SNAP,
sure,
and different kind of hunger related and food insecurity related articles and you know, and pieces to kind of connect both when we're thinking about this larger issue of food security, not only addressing this local grown and local food side of things, but also thinking about the other side, and who, you know, who is participating, how we can get more folks participating. So to help us both thrive, to help,
absolutely,
both sides of the coin thrive.
Yeah.
So really just those three things. And that's all.
You know, no big deal.
And yeah, just change
the world, just right there.
Change the world.
Sarah,
yeah.
What is the best website for folks to go take a look and find more resources?
Oh, yeah, I would go to either alaskafood.org or go to foodbankofalaska.org, and there are a lot of links from there. And like I said, yeah, the Alaska Food Coalition Facebook page, and then the SnapWorks Alaska Facebook page as well.
Okay.
Are great resources.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always surprised by how fast the half an hour goes. And we covered a lot of information this morning, Sarah, but thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about the great work that the Food Coalition and the Food Bank of Alaska do. I sincerely appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us and inviting us on the show, and excited to work together more on things and on the Farm Bill coming up.
Okay, perfect. Have a great day, Sarah. Thank you.
You too. Okay.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.